Have your Bibles, if you would, turn with us to 1 John chapter 1 and Philippians chapter number 3. 1 John chapter number 1, Philippians number 3. No preacher's constantly live when they say this, but I mean this. I don't think I'll keep you long this morning. I've preached everything that I know this week. And I don't know if my voice will hold out too much longer, but it's good to have you in the Lord's house this morning. We are so grateful, so thankful that you chose us to come and worship with today. And we ask that you pray for us here for just a few minutes, that we'd be able to bring the message that God has laid on our heart. And certainly we appreciate you being here once again this morning. And tell you what, we have had a wonderful couple of weeks. Thank God for the wonderful church camp that we had. Precious souls that have been saved, the revivals that have run all over the community, and the good reports of souls being saved at all the revivals. God is good. Amen. He is wonderful. And I tell you what, I thank God for everything that we have been able to see, everything that we've been able to hear of. It's just precious, and we're thankful that the Lord still loves us. In 1 John chapter number 1, I'm going to start reading in verse number 1, and I'm going to read the whole chapter, and that's not very long, but it says, "That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father, and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. This then is the message which we have heard of him, and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. My little children, these things write I unto you, that you sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, and he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. And hereby we do know that we know him, and if we keep his commandments, he that saith, I know him and keepeth not his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him." Flipping back, I'm going to grab two verses in Philippians chapter 3, verses 10 and 11. "That I may know him and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead." And we believe that'd be all God have us to read in your hearing this morning. We pray that God richly add his blessing to the reading of his word. If we had a thought here for just a few minutes momentarily, in chapter 2, verse number 3 of 1 John, the scripture says, "And hereby we do know that we know him." And I want to preach on knowing him this morning, because I'm going to tell you something, friends. Listen, there's a lot of people, especially in this world, in the modern day of Christianity that the church has evolved to. Listen, there's a big doctrine going around, and of course we understand it to be true. And it's really coined easy believism. Listen, and we hear constantly, and I want to approach this subject as carefully as we can, because this morning I believe that it has caused a complication within the church, and because we have those on the extreme right and we have those on the extreme left, but where Jesus is in the middle on the cross.
Amen. And so often we have these preconceived notions in our minds, and I believe a lot of times we have good intentions, but just because this church over here is doing it, that means that we've got to turn 180 degrees, run as hard as we can, and do something else. Amen. But where we have missed the mark is we've run past Calvary, and we've run so far this way that we've complicated salvation to the point where we've made it hard. Amen. The Bible tells us that though I be as a stranger, a wayfaring man, the Bible tells us that that even a fool cannot err therein. Amen. Christ, the Bible tells us that salvation, that it is one of the most simple things that the Scripture has ever taught us doctrinally wise. Amen. There's a lot of things that we can run into, and we can study different doctrines, and we can study a lot of implications of the Scripture, but salvation is the core of all the doctrine of Christianity. Amen. Salvation is where it stops and where it starts. Amen. The Bible tells us in John 14:6, he said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man come unto the Father lest he come by me." Amen. Now we constantly hear, and it's even been coined, the Roman road. In Romans 3:23, the Bible said, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Romans 3:10, the Bible said, "There's none righteous, no, not one." Romans 6:23, the Bible said, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is everlasting life through Jesus Christ our Lord." Romans 10:9-10 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. With the heart man believeth unto the righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. 10:13 says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Amen. John 6, the Bible said, "No man can come unto the Father lest the Father which sent him draw him." The Bible says in chapter 9 of the book of John, he said, if I be lifted up to the earth, will draw all men nigh unto me. John 3:16, the Bible said, "For God so loved the world that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Amen. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might have everlasting life. So our Lord today is not a condemner. Amen. Some of you may have been at Crossroads the other night, but there is a true scriptural difference between conviction and condemnation. Condemnation, it reveals our sin to us, but it never offers any hope of salvation. Conviction, on the other hand, comes from the third person of the Godhead. And I love this. You go back and you can read in John chapter 16 over in verse 13. The Bible said, Jesus gave a declaration. He said, "It's expedient that I go away. If I go not away, then the Comforter cannot come." Amen. He said, "And when the Comforter shall come, he will reprove the world of sin and unrighteousness." Amen. The Bible said that when the Spirit shall speak, that it shall only speak that which is commanded of him. I've read that passage many, many times over the years, but I've seen a wonderful thought in this. Amen. The Spirit, Tommy, only speaks what the Son allows. Amen. The Son only allows because of Calvary. Amen. If you be saved today, you can only be saved through the mediatory sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ at a cross called Calvary. Amen. So the Bible tells us, God, now I want to break the Trinity down so you can see a good picture of this. We have the righteous law of God. Amen. And lots of times we've often isolated God, and we put him out on this island, and we say that he is righteous. The law that he handed down to Moses, the Ten Commandments on Mount Sinai, and the 613 other commandments that were given. Listen now. We see that's the righteousness of God. And God says, if you be righteous, you must maintain all of the law. Amen? You understand that? You can't, listen, of the 613 laws, you can't maintain 612 of them and be considered righteous. Amen? If you break one, the Bible tells us that you are unrighteous, that you are a sinner, and that hell will be your eternal home without a hope and salvation in Jesus Christ. Just because of that one commandment that you cannot fulfill. David spoke to us in Psalms chapter number 51, and he said, "Behold, in iniquity was I conceived, and did my mother bring me forth in sin." Amen. Let me tell you something, friends, this morning. Listen, you can try and get a case of the do-betters, and you can try and live a good, moral, justified life. But I want you to understand something, friends, here today. Listen, you were born in sin. And the Bible tells us that sin separates a holy God from man. So God gave the commandments, and I'm going to get back to this in just a minute. God gave the commandments, and the Bible tells us, listen, that the law came to do what? To reveal sin. Amen. So when the law came, we've seen where we were lacking, Shannon. We've seen our inabilities. And from that, there began to come a cry from the people of God, send us a ransom, send us a redeemer that can fulfill what we cannot. Amen. Now listen, this is what is so beautiful about Revelation 5. And I know you've heard me preach on this numerous times. But in Revelation 5, the Bible said that I, John, looked into the midst of the throne. Listen, the Bible said he's seen him that sat upon the throne, having a book sealed within with on the backside, sealed with seven seals. And the Bible said that the earth was searched, heaven was searched, beneath the earth was searched. There was none found worthy to open the book, neither to loose the seals therein. The Bible said that I, John, began to weep much because there was none found worthy to open the book, neither to loose the seals. And the Bible said, a great angel laid his right hand upon me and said, John, fear not, for the Lion of the tribe of Judah hath prevailed to open the seals and to loose. Hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. And the Bible said, John, I looked in the midst of the throne, the four beasts and the 24 elders, and he seen a lamb as it had been slain before the foundation of the world. In 1 Peter 1:18, he says, for as much as you know, you were not redeemed with silver and gold. Listen, which are corruptible things, but you were redeemed with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who was verily foreordained before the foundations of the world. Amen. So if you take those two scriptures, amen, listen, you understand the implications of Revelation 5 and 1 Peter 1:19. The Bible said he was manifest before the foundation of the world. Amen. Listen, God knew that man would fail. God knew man was unrighteous. God knew man's inability of his own self to get to Calvary. So before he ever spoke, in the beginning, amen, before he ever exercised any of his creation power through the voice of God, he manifested his Son that we might have a redeemer and a ransom. Before we were ever a seed of thought, he already made a way. Ain't that beautiful? That's why when Jeremiah said, behold, I knew thee in the womb. Yeah. Amen. He knew you far before you were in the womb. He knew you before the foundation of anything ever was. Tommy, he knew you. Amen. Roger, he knew you. Shannon, he knew you. Before any, listen, the Bible tells us that when God created the world and all things that are therein, the Bible said that he looked into the firmament, into the vast blackness and darkness, and the Bible said that it was without form and without void, John. Listen, but when the world was without form and when it was without void, when there was no light, when there was no existence, he knew So God, he hands down the law, and the law is the righteousness of God. Listen now, this is why this is so important. When Jesus came along, the second person of the Trinity, listen, God the Son, the incarnate of God, when he assumed a robe of flesh, the Bible said that he come down. Listen now, this is very important scripture. He said, I came not to destroy the law, but to fulfill it. Amen. Because you know what you get when you fulfill the righteousness, or when you fulfill God's law, what it equals is righteousness. Amen? So listen, the Christ came, he said, I came not to destroy it, but to fulfill it. Amen? One of the last utterances he made on the cross of Calvary is, it is finished. Amen? Which is an old Greek accounting term, which means paid in full. Amen? So listen to me, friends, today. Listen, what did he pay in full? He paid the law in full. Amen. And listen, listen, when all of glory unfolded that day, listen, I believe that's what, listen, we see John seen in Revelation chapter 1. He said, listen, and he said, I heard a great voice behind me, and being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks. In the midst of the seven candlesticks, one likened unto the Son of Man, being clothed with a garment, a golden girdle down to the foot, and girt about the paps with a golden girdle his head, and his hairs were white as snow, white like wool. Listen, the Bible said that his feet were as brass as though they burned in a furnace, and his voice was the sound of many waters, and his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength. And John said, and I fell at his feet as dead, and he laid his hand upon me and said, John, he said, fear not. He said, I am the first and the last. I am he who is dead and am alive forevermore, and have the keys of hell and death. Amen. He put on the garments and the attire of the high priest when he exited Calvary. Amen. Listen, when he exited Calvary, the Spirit of God assumed the position of the high priest. That's what John seen. And he went in the eastern gate of heaven, into the holy place, into the most holy, and offer himself a ransom. He said, they can't pay it, so I'm here to pay it for them. Amen. Now the Bible says, listen, we that are lost and undone without a hope in Christ, the Bible said, if we, in Ephesians 2 and 8, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, for it is the gift of God. So what happens, preacher? I'll tell you exactly what happens when the convictions and the wooings, listen, and the invitation of salvation should come. Listen, listen now, listen, I'm reminding you over there in John 16, the Bible said the Spirit only speaks what he has told. Amen. Now, I'm going to tie this big old circle for you. The Spirit only speaks what it's told. Who speaks to the Spirit? The Son. John 10, the Bible said, I and my Father are one. So ultimately, the sin that divides us from the Father is the same Father who sends us an invitation back to him through Calvary. Amen. Listen, friends, he loves us eternally and immortally, and he gave the very precious crown jewel of heaven, the diadem of heaven and all of its glory. He said, I'll give the very best I have so I can get my hands back on you. Now, I want to talk to you for just a minute about knowing. I said all that to get right here. Listen to this. And hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. The word know is the word, the Greek word ginesko. And that the word ginesko is knowledge through personal experience, is what that word know means. Amen. So there's a lot of people today, Dan, they say, well, I hope I'm saved, or I think I'm saved. No, the Bible says that you can know that you are saved. Amen. How do you know? Through personal experience. Amen. If you have an experience at Calvary, it cannot be undone. Amen. Boy, I tell you, there's a lot of people wandering around the church today, and they're wondering, they're hoping, and they're thinking, a preacher, am I saved? Am I this? Am I that? I'm here to tell you, friends, this morning, you can know beyond. Listen, just like, friends, when you enter into the courthouse and they pronounce not guilty, they stand and say, according to a period, according to a jury of your peers, you have been pronounced not guilty. Amen. I'm telling you, friends, today, I'm glad the jury of my peers is his son, Jesus Christ. And through a personal experience, I know what happened to me. Amen.
I tell you what, if I run revival every week, y'all wouldn't ever get out of service at 4 o'clock on Sundays.
How beautiful is this? Now, I want to take you right back here for just a minute. So we know that we're saved, right? Now, let's look at Philippians 3:10. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection. There's a lot of people they know of. They know of the power of the resurrection. But there's a difference between knowing of the power and knowing what is in the power of the resurrection. I've often said this, we have a lot of Friday Christians. What are you talking about, preacher? We get hung up in the death. Amen. We take our lip and we pull it all the way over our heads and we walk around like this. Oh, it's just such a struggle to live. I've said this many times. A lot of people say, preacher, it's hard to be a Christian. Let me tell you, being a Christian, yes, it has adversities, it has trials, it has temptations, it has tribulations. But I'm going to tell you this, being a Christian is the most joyous, blissful state of living that I have ever known in my existence. Amen. I'm going to tell you what, a hard life is an alcoholic. A hard life is a drug addict. A hard life is an adulterer. A hard life is a fornicator. A hard life is a liar. A hard life is being an abomination. But joy, listen, the presence of living in the joys of Christ is not hard. It is a blessing. Amen. Now, my bank account may not reflect it. My houses, my cars may not reflect it. Listen, you may have way far more in this world than I will ever attain to, but that's fine, because I know when I go home tonight and pillow my head, I can close my eyes in blessed peace and joy and know that if I don't wake in the morning, I've got a mansion prepared for me in heaven, because I know the power of the resurrection. Amen. Stand your feet, I'm done. I don't know your heart this morning, church. I don't know where you stand with God. But I want to offer an invitation to you. I got hung up on this all week at Crossroads. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. He that is athirst, let him come to the fountain of the water of life freely. I want to extend an invitation to you, friends, this morning. Just please come unto him that is able to make all things new.
Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5 and 17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, old things are passed away, and behold, all things have become new. Amen. Listen, I'm glad that the old man can perish, and the new man is born. And we can live joyously, blessed, with a personal experience and knowledge that He lives, rules, and reigns within us.